Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with hosts Amy Babinchek, James Kernan, and Carl Polacek. Produced by Kernan Consulting and for the international MSP community, we are dedicated to making every IT professional a successful IT professional.
Hello, SMB Community Podcast listeners, and welcome my good friend James. How are you doing today, James?
Doing great, doing great. I'm fired up. It's Monday morning.
Ready to roll. Spring is sprung here in the Midwest. And we have a high wind warning today. Just so you guys know, James and I always like to mention the weather. So high wind warning here in Michigan today, which is kind of a bummer because this weekend was so beautiful. I got my tiny, delicate seedlings out into my vegetable garden. And now I'm worried about them. They're going to get beat up by the wind.
Yeah. Yeah, that always happens. Well, it's supposed to be sunny, 75, and no wind today. It sounds like a San Diego day to me.
It does. It sounds beautiful. Yeah, spring is finally here. We're going to be in the 70s all week as well. So listeners, just know James and I are enjoying the spring weather, and we're doing okay in the sunshine now.
We're healthier now. We get our vitamin D.
I know everybody likes to hear us talk about the weather. It's a thing. All right. Except for the editor. You know, they hate that stuff, but oh well. Yeah. It's part of our DNA. We can't avoid that.
True.
Yep. So we have question of the week today. And it's really timely. I don't know about in your groups, but in my groups, this is a thing that's being talked about. What is the best time to sell your MSP? And well, that question has a lot of facets to it.
Yeah. Wow. It sure does. Yeah. You know, my circles, it seems like M&A was the hottest topic, and you know, besides AI for 2024, and it continues to be in 2025. So I'll just say, you know, it is a seller's market right now. Normally the answer would be when you get top dollar, you know, when you get top dollar, when you get equal or greater than what you want out of your business. So I would say now is a good time to buy. You know, mentally you need to get in a place though that you're okay. You know, why would you want to sell your business? What are you going to go do? Are you going to stay connected in the business or run out the back door and go do something else? Think through those things, because as a seller, there's a lot of emotions that go on. And a lot of people don't realize that if it's your first one early on and you don't get it emotional right at the end, right?
Well, yeah, right at that time when you're gonna have to make that final decision. You know, I'm consulting with a guy now, and he's reached that point, and I remember reaching this point when I was selling my MSP. You know, you look at the number, and if you're a smaller MSP, you know, 1-2 million, something like that, you're going to get a, you know, 4 to 5x return on that, which means for most people, that's 4 to 5 years of future income. Mm-hmm. And you reach this point of, you know, having to put that signature on the paper, and you're thinking to yourself, maybe I should just work another 4 or 5 years, make the same amount of money.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's that's a real inflection point in the whole M&A thing. And you need to have thought that through before you get there, so you can remind yourself, this is why I decided to sell my business now. Right. And the real reason you're going to sell your business is you know your number. Yeah. And when I tell people all the time, what's your number? You know, what's the number that you need to have in the bank to support your lifestyle from now till the end of time? Mm-hmm. And you need to know that number. And if your business is at that point, then you know, that'll get you through that scary moment of maybe I should just keep working, right? that'll, because you know, you can go back and go, no, self, I have done the calculations and I know that I'm getting the number that I need, you know, or I'm joining a great partnership and this is going to get me to the number that I need, right?
Mm-hmm. So, yep. You see that too.
Yeah, but you got to have that plan in place first because of that emotional roller coaster that you're going to go through when you're selling your cat. I mean, your MSP, right? It's painful. There's a little bit of pain in there.
I see it time and time again. And it's, again, it is a seller's market. There was a story, this was a few years back now, it's probably 4 years ago, a client of mine out of the blue was in, and we all get those emails, right? Hey, are you interested in selling your company? We're looking mm-hmm. for a company just like yours in your market.
Cold calls all day long, man. They're coming in.
He did. He went through a couple conversations with them. And then he came back with me and said, hey, here's where we're at. And what do you think? And I just said, I don't think you're ready. You know, this isn't a good number. And you've heard me say this before, when you're negotiating one-on-one and you don't have multiple bids on the table, mm-hmm. the buyer knows that and will use that to their advantage. But normally you get more when there's multiple people at the table. And I talked him out of it. And what I did was I just said, hey, here's your number that you want. This is close to the number that you want, but I don't think it's fair market value. If you hang on to it for 2 more years, each year you're taking out about $250,000. So there's $500,000 right there. We'll get mm-hmm. you over the number that you want, because all we have to do is increase MRR just a little bit, clean up this, and your numbers are going to be better and trending in a great spot. And that's what we did. That's what we did. And then he did 2 years later sell it, and it got a much better deal. Plus he got the money he normally pulls out every year. Yeah. So, you know, don't bet that first opportunity though.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, listeners, you've heard something really important here. I do the same thing. I've also talked people out of selling their business, right? Mm-hmm. This isn't the time. You don't have the right structure. You know, we can work on things. So, you can do better, right? This number sounds good because somebody just threw a big number at you, but actually you can do better. You know, what that means is that James and I are providing ethical M&A services. So, you know, there's a lot of people that, I don't want to say they're not ethical, but it's their livelihood if you don't sell your business. And so, you know, be cautious with who you pick to help guide you through. That's all I'm going to say about that. There's a time when it's right, and you'll know when it's right. We will have calculated your number so that you know you've got the financial security that you need. Mm-hmm. Or we will have helped you evaluate whether this actually is a good merger and move for you to sell your business to another firm, become part of that company and you know, grow from there. That's a lot about culture and fit. And those are also some emotional considerations, you know, a lot of digging around in people's businesses to really, you know, uncover sometimes uncomfortable truths about operations and all that. So there's a lot to do. So, you know, when is the best time to sell your business? It's after you've been through all of those conversations and thoughts and emotional bits and got your numbers behind you. And then you're ready to go confidently into the market and say, yep, I'm ready to sell. And I have backed by numbers and backed by my conviction to do it.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. And I echo everything Amy just said. There's so much that goes into this, and, you know, it needs to be a good fit. You know, you need to understand the strategy of the buyer. What's the plan moving forward? Is it to grow the business or take it apart, merge it with something else? And normally you can tell by the personalities of both the buyer and the seller and the cultures. Are they going to come together in a positive way or a negative way? And So anyway, there's a lot to it, but wow, what a great question, because there's so many pieces to that.
There are so many pieces to it. Yeah. Take your time. Don't jump. That's the big takeaway right there.
True. True.
Yeah. So, so we record this on Zoom, and Zoom was down for part of last week. Did you get burned by that, James?
I got burned by that, you know.
So did I.
You're going meeting to meeting to meeting. Yep. I think I had a half hour break, and all of a sudden I try to jump on Zoom and it just would time out. And I'm like, what? And at first I thought it was my computer. Nothing else was going on. Logged out of Zoom, logged back in, couldn't get in. And then I looked at Slack and or I think I went to Down Detector, and I saw some news about Spotify and Zoom, but it was minimal. And then I was getting slacked by a couple other people, and I could see that they were all having issues as well. So and I think you were burned a little bit too, right, Amy?
Yeah. Yep. I was, like you, I was in a Zoom meeting earlier in the day, and then the afternoon I had a meeting, and I got into the meeting just fine. And one other person joined me in the meeting, and the six other people that were supposed to be there couldn't get in. And it was all kinds of conversation. I was like, here's a Teams meeting link. Let's move.
let's move to Teams. So let me just throw this out there. Being a Midwestern as well, did you get that snow day feeling or temptation where, oh, I can't get in the meeting. I guess we're not meeting today.
Totally. Yep. Yeah. Anybody wants their time back? Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, exactly. I did as well. I was like, oh, I guess we can't meet today. And then I was like, wait a minute. We could do a Teams meeting.
We can do a Teams meeting. Yeah.
That's funny. Yep.
Teams to the rescue. We're all used to this now, right? We move seamlessly between different meeting platforms. Unless it's Cisco, and then that's a nightmare. But the rest of them sort of right. Move back and forth pretty well.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, today Spotify's down. I didn't realize they were down last week. I'm not a Spotify user, but I saw that in the news this morning. Mm-hmm. I guess it's a fairly big outage. Spotify said they know what it is and that it's not a security issue. So that means it's DNS. Turns out the Zoom outage was DNS. There was a miscommunication between Zoom and GoDaddy, which is bizarre to me that they would have GoDaddy in their domain registrar anywhere for Zoom.us, but apparently they did. And, time to grow up, Zoom, and GoDaddy is for self-service tiny companies. And
exactly.
Yeah, move on.
That's not good press.
No, I wouldn't think so. I couldn't believe that when I saw that. It's like Zoom is related in any way to GoDaddy's DNS. But here we are, it's always DNS. It's still always DNS.
Yep.
This is apparently going to be a truism. Although, I did add to that, it's not only DNS now, it's always RDP when there's some kind of hack out there going on. Somebody's got open RDP someplace.
Yeah. Should have shut that down 10 years ago.
No kidding. All right. Speaking of tech stuff, we'll just get techie for a minute here. There's been a lot of conversation about Microsoft Break Glass, right? Mm-hmm. You need a Break Glass account so you don't lose access to your Microsoft 365 tenant. At one time, Microsoft recommended two Break Glass accounts, one that was exempt from conditional access and one that was exempt from MFA. It was early days MFA. They didn't feel like there was enough redundancy in that it could possibly be a situation where you might lock the account out. Now MFA is required even on your Break Fix account. So if you haven't updated your Break Fix account, make sure you do that because you have to have MFA on that now.
Yeah.
Now, you do need to exempt it from conditional access and your scripts and all this other stuff so that it does not get, that account never gets affected by any of those things. We could accidentally lock yourself out. It is possible to lock yourself out in such a way that even Microsoft themselves can't get you back in. You could lose access to your tenant. So you need that kind of a back door. What's happening now is there are some people that are recommending that instead of a Break Glass account, which can be subject to password policies and, you know, such. And they're saying, well, instead of that, just make a break fix app, publish that in Azure and give it full access to your tenant, and have a break glass app with a never expiring certificate as its authentication. And that really terrifies me. I do not like this idea at all. I recommend everybody stick with their break glass account. And mainly because I've been on a tirade against OAuth. You know, OAuth has been a real big source of hacks into tenants. And now we're going to use that as a method to give this never expiring app full access, godlike access to our tenant. Right. It just makes me really nervous. It's much harder to set up your alerts and monitoring on that OAuth app than it is today to do that for a user account and to, you know, be alerted if that account ever gets used or has attempts on it or whatever. Whereas that app, you know, somebody knows that app exists. All they have to do is call it up and they're in.
Yeah.
I don't like that idea. So that's my techie bit for the day.
Yeah, that's scary. And, you know, the hackers are getting more and more sophisticated. So, you know, it makes sense to maybe look at options outside of Microsoft, but that one's too risky for sure. So yeah. I'm with you, Amy, on that one.
Thank you. So you want to talk about Meta and Google for a minute and their court trials and tribulations?
Isn't it a shocker they're in the news again?
Who?
It feels like that's all we talk about, Google.
They're both in for antitrust. Right now, as we're recording this, you know, Meta's been in front of Congress doing some testifying for antitrust. Google's in the same hot water for antitrust in the U.S. and also in the EU. So they're being hit on both fronts. It's pretty serious, and it has to do both with their search engine and also with advertising.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, there was, I think this latest headline, Google, and I didn't realize they hold 87% market share in the digital marketing. And, you know, a lot of the MSPs, you know, we talk a lot about campaigns as MSPs, marketing campaigns, you know, using Google. And, you know, I'm not too concerned about this because this is such a big case. It's going to be tied up in courts for years. It's not like this unfavorable judgment or ruling against Google, you know, being a monopoly in that space and trying to level the playing field. I think it'll be held up in the courts a lot longer. But it's interesting to see, you know, how the government agencies are getting more involved in these big tech companies. And, you know, I get kind of leveling out the playing field, but it's
an interesting time for this to be happening. Exactly. Right. And so, because AI is really changing things, Google's probably never been more threatened than they are today. Mm-hmm. And it's not from these antitrust lawsuits, although those are certainly a big deal, especially being hit from two entities at the same time. But Google is running scared on the AI front, right? They were behind. How do you sell advertising in an AI world? Mm. You know, the search now is so good that people are using the ChatGPT and other AIs as search engines, getting directly to the information they want without having to go through, you know, to wade through two pages of advertising to finally find the first hit from a normal Google search.
Right.
And so, you know, Google's very, very nervous about what's going to happen with their advertising revenue because their traditional model doesn't work in an AI world.
Right.
So I'm sure that they're probably going to have to prove their vulnerability in court to get out from under that lawsuit. That's a sticky wicket to be in right there.
Yeah, that's a big one. A good one to watch and pay attention to, but. A lot of them.
Yeah. Yeah, the other piece that they're targeting with Google is that, you know, the browsers come with Google as their search engine by default. And you know, everybody says, well, that is the best search engine. Well, you know, the one by default ends up generally being the one you use. So, and also the one you gain the most experience and comfort with, and, you know, that ends up snowballing. And then, you know, Google does enjoy a near monopoly in that. So, they've got some questions to answer. Meta is answering for, you know, whether or not their purchase of Instagram and WhatsApp constitutes a monopoly in social media of eyeballs, basically. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how I feel about that. You know, both of those companies were much, much smaller when they bought them. Mm-hmm. And that's their argument. We built, invested, and expanded those operations. And, you know, they and the customers benefit from our purchase of it.
Right.
So far, Congress doesn't seem to be agreeing with that assumption. But
exactly.
We'll see what happens. We'll see.
Yeah, I think that'll be a long fight, actually, for both. And they've got the money to do it. So
it's interesting, though, isn't it? Because if you look back historically and see what happens to companies that get broken up from antitrust lawsuits, and they usually end up on the winning side financially. Mm-hmm. Right. It changes their business strategy. It sort of de-verticalizes them. But, you know, just because they spin it off doesn't mean they don't still maintain ownership of that. They're just no longer a single company. In the end, though, more money is made by all these independent businesses than would have been made if they were just one big one. So,
yeah. Yeah. So it opens up the channels for them and less regulation. It'll be interesting. I mean, these two are giants today, and we all rely on them. So it'll be interesting. And one last comment regarding Meta, you know, hope nobody ever goes into Facebook jail or worse, marketplace jail, where you relying on the support. It happened to me last week. I think my marketplace, and it's not like I'm a big merchant selling things, you know, but I do buy a ton of things every week, it seems like, off marketplace. It just kind of brain candy. You scroll through, it's like, oh, I need this, and looking for one of those. Everybody likes a good deal. Mm-hmm. But I had just switched out my printer and put my old Xerox printer for sale. It's like, okay, I got my new one all set up. It's all good. And I used a stock photo with my marketplace ad, and all of a sudden, zap, it just took the whole marketplace account away. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, and then what a nightmare trying to find out what happened, who to talk to. It's good riddance. So,
Amazon, Google, Meta, trying to get support out of any of those three is a nightmare.
Yeah. And if any of you troublemakers out there like me that are living on the edge and, you know, have any tips, let me know. I'd love to hear it. But
no, it sounds like no stock photos is your tip.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know,
I mentioned I did a bunch of gardening. And one of the things that we did was we have two rows of variegated hostas running up the walkway to our front door. And they needed thinning. So we pulled them out, broke them up, thinned them, you know, replanted them. Just, you know, landscaping gets old. You had to refresh it.
Yep.
I ended up with a ton of extra hostas. So I put them on Marketplace. I had some nice big chunks and, you know, maybe 6 inch by 6 inch, which, hostas, you could break them out into twos or threes. Yeah. I sold them for $10 a piece and I made $320 in an afternoon. People were like zoop, zoop, zoop to my door. It was crazy.
Yeah. That's a good deal. That's a good deal. Those are expensive at the garden centers.
They certainly are. Yeah.
Charging top dollar. Well, I wish we were lived closer because I would have bought a bunch of those from you. I love hostas.
All right. So, James, anything you want to tell us about your travels or upcoming events? When's your next quarterly?
So the next quarterly is coming up the end of June. So June 26th, 27th, it'll be in Omaha, Nebraska. So that will be a lot of fun. Got some great people flying in from all over the country to present. We're going to be talking a lot about M&A, a lot about AI, a lot about cybersecurity and cloud. And evolving.
All the hot topics.
Yeah, we're going to hit all the hot topics. So it'll be a lot of fun. And it's also right at the same time as the College World Series. So it'll be the tail end of the College World Series, which for any of you baseball fans out there, that's the creme de la creme of baseball for, you know, college baseball. And Omaha hosts that every year. And all of a sudden, Omaha turns into Los Angeles, where it seems like there's 10 million people all downtown. But it's a lot of fun, brings a lot of energy in, and looking forward to that. But yeah, it'll be a great time of the year here in the Midwest. And so two-day event at the Mastermind Live the end of the month. And then next week, I've got a sales seminar that I'm doing online. So some sales training, value-based training. I'm looking forward to that as well.
Nice. All right. So as I mentioned before, I am reserving my time for me. So it's boating season, and any free time, that's where I'm going to be. So I'm just really committed to that this year because I didn't get to do much of it last year.
Yeah, good for you.
So yeah. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning into another episode of the SMB Community Podcast. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to the SMB Community Podcast. If you found this interesting or fun, please subscribe, share with your friends, and give us a thumbs up on your favorite social media. We would love to hear from you, so reach out anytime on the website at smbcommunitypodcast.com.